Ephesians chapter 2, and begin reading in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word, for the truth that it gives, helps us to see things as they truly are, as we look through the eyes of faith, and we just pray you'd help us once again, Lord, that we would have a vision from above from you, that you would just help us in the things that we deal with, that you would give us grace and strength and faith to be able to rise above. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we have been looking at over the last several weeks and months, our theme of this year is the idea of having 2020 spiritual vision, of being able to see the world through the eyes of faith. And I think we recognize with everything that's going on in this world today, many things that can trouble us, any circumstances that can concern us, get us down, that now more than ever, I think that we realize that we need that spiritual vision. We need to, really, I think that's the thing, is that it can be very easy to kind of get discouraged with things and worry about them. And I think we all wish that there is a way that we could rise above them, that we could leave them all behind. And I think many people seek an escape from these times, sometimes in ways that aren't healthy, that are actually self-destructive. But I think many are trying to, just tired of dealing with the way things are and wishing there was a way to get away from it all. And so we need to have a perspective to help us in dealing with this. And we want to understand that there is a way that we can, as believers, rise above our circumstances, rise above everything that is going on with the coronavirus and all the fallout from that, that we can rise above as we see things through the eyes of faith. And as we read God's Word, it gives us a different perspective from which we can draw strength and hope. And this passage this morning we looked at in Ephesians chapter 2, really, as we read from beginning to end, I think it's we recognize just how far the grace of God has brought us. That we see where we started, that we were dead in trespasses and sins. That we recognize that the wages of sin is death. That when we sin, we always see in the Bible that death speaks of separation, whether it's physical death being separation of the soul from the body, spiritual death, us being separated from God, the source of life, and then eternal death being where we're separated from Him forever. But that's the thing, all of us were sinners, all of us were under condemnation because of our sin, and we're not in a position where we can help ourselves. And we walked following the course of this world. Whatever influence came from this present evil world, we pursued after. This spirit that works in the children of disobedience. And this is the thing, this is all of us. Before Christ stepped into our lives, before we came to know Him as Savior, that we had our conversation, our way of life was in the lust of our flesh, that we had different desires that we could not control, but instead controlled us and brought us into a great deal of pain and sorrow, that really we were on a path of self-destruction, and that we had no one really to blame but ourselves. But God saw us in that state, and instead of just saying, well, you deserve it because of the mistakes you've made, that we see that he looked on us and he had compassion. He is rich in mercy, that he loved us. And that's the thing that we almost think, for his great love wherewith he loved us, that we ponder, well, doesn't God still love us? Why would it show love in the past tense there? And I think as we ponder it, we realize that that for God, love is always not just words, but actions. And he doesn't just say he loves us, he demonstrated it once and for all that he does. And his great love worth he loved us is that moment where he stepped into history, came down to earth, where he took our place and died on a cross for our sins. That demonstrated his love in laying down his life for us, even though we were yet sinners. And so we're thankful for that, and we rejoice in that, that even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us together with Christ. By grace we're saved, it says there. And then it says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And so we look at that and we just think of from where we were and where we were headed because of our sin, a life separated from God, a life of torment and wrath brought on by our own sins, that God, by his mercy, provided a way that we could come to, we could pass from death unto life. And that now we have this hope of living with him forever in heaven, and we rejoice in that. And it's the thought that that it'll be a testimony that we can give through eternity of just God's the exceeding riches of his mercy and grace to us, of who we were, what we had done, but yet what he did for us, and where we are now because of him. And so there's much in this passage that really, as we think of from where we've come to where we are, we can rejoice in. But I want us to focus in this morning on verse number 6, because it's kind of one that we can run over fairly quickly and kind of miss the significance and what it's saying, partly because it doesn't immediately make a lot of sense to us. Because it says that we're quickened together with Christ, by grace you're saved, but then it says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we look at that, okay, well, we know that one day we're going to be in heavenly places. That when we looked at that last week of how we have that certainty that because we've trusted in Christ as Savior, if we're absent from the body, we're going to be present with the Lord. If the house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a house not made with hands eternal in the heavens. And that's what we look for, that's what we long for, is to go home one day to be with the Lord forever, just as he promised in John chapter 14, where he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so we look for that, we long for that. But we see here, the way that this is phrased, it's as, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we would assume that it would be in the future tense, that he is going to raise us up together, and he is going to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's certainly true. But we see that the tense of the verb there, raised and made us sit together, it's in the past tense for a reason, that we want to understand by faith that this is something that has already happened, something that we are experiencing and enjoying right now. And for us, that doesn't make any sense. And of course, our finite minds have a struggle to understand so many different spiritual things that God's word says are true. Just the idea that God is omnipresent, that he can be in heaven, he can be with us here, he can be with a congregation of believers on the other side of the world, and wherever we go, that he's there. That is something hard for us to understand. And of course, this idea that the Holy Spirit's within each of us, but yet it isn't like he's divided into chunks and we each get a part of the Holy Spirit. We have as much of the Holy Spirit as we can have, God within us. There's so many different things, and this is another one of those things where this doesn't make a lot of sense. But we want to understand how this works as the Scriptures teach, because this is a scriptural teaching that we want to try to get our heads around. We see of the Lord Jesus that, of course, he was raised from the dead, and he was on the earth for 40 days, and then he ascended up into heaven. It speaks of this in Hebrews chapter 1, where it says, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so we identify that Christ departed to heaven, that he is now seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and that is where he remains, and we look forward to going to heaven and to seeing his face as he promised would happen. But we want to understand the principle as well in the Scriptures that through trusting Christ as our Savior, that we are united with him. Because it says that he quickened us together with Christ, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together. And so you see that togetherness, that we're together with Christ, both in being raised, being quickened, being raised, and being made to sit with him. And so there's a connection there. Romans 6, chapter verse 4 and 5 speaks of this as well, where it says, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted again in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And it goes on, the idea that we're dead with Christ, dead to sin, and now we're raised with Christ from the dead. And so we're not to we're to reckon ourselves dead to sin, alive unto God, that we don't have to be servants to sin anymore. We can now be servants to righteousness. We see as well Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 12, where it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And so it's the idea that we're buried with him, we're dead unto sin, we've been raised with him, we're raised from the dead, that we can live a new life now. And so as believers, if we've trusted in Christ, we are in Christ. That we think in terms of Christ being in us, and that's certainly true, that when we trust in Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit is in us. But we also understand that we are now in Christ. We think of what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Even in Ephesians chapter 2, later down in that chapter, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so it's hard for us to comprehend, but God is saying to us that we're essentially, in a way, that we're already in heaven with Him right now. That we look for the day when faith shall be sight and we'll be ushered in the presence of the Lord. But by faith, it's like we're already there. And I'm reminded of a song, I don't know who the author was of it, but I heard it sung by an evangelist by the name of Tommy Stone. He's since passed on to glory. But these are the words of it. It says, I took a look in the old black book and it thrilled me through and through. And if you've been saved and born again, it's bound to thrill you too. Well, I was reading along about going home and found to my surprise why I'm already there in Jesus, living on the other side. And the chorus goes, I'm already over on the other side waiting for my brand new body, sitting up there in the heavenly fair on the right hand of the Father. With my citizenship in heaven, I'm living in Christ, you see. Yes, I'm already over on the other side waiting for my body to be. And so it's the thought that after we trust in Christ, we know that our salvation is certain. There's no possible way that having trust in Jesus as Savior that we can lose our salvation. Jesus himself said in John 5 verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. And so we want to understand that that is settled forever in heaven, our salvation. And so there is a sense in which we as believers are already in his presence. We see this as well in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, it says, verse 22 and verse 23, it says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That we kind of think of that there is a way in which, even though we know that we are to gather and assemble together as believers and meet and have fellowship one with another, that in a sense that we can have a time of fellowship with those that have gone on before. We know that we're serving the same God, we're singing the same songs that they used to sing, that we have a fellowship together with them in that sense. We think as well of what it talks about in Hebrews 4 verse 16, where we're to come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Of course, this speaks of prayer, when we have a need that we can come to God, but really kind of thinking of it so differently. So often what it is we're down here and we're praying up to God in heaven and hoping that it gets through, hoping that he will hear us. We tend to think that we're so very far away from him, and we just don't know if he hears or answers your prayer, what's going to happen. But instead, having this idea where we're in God's presence, we're made to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we can come before God himself, and there's nothing in the way, there's no barrier anymore, that Jesus has provided a new and living way that we can enter into the holiest, and so we can come boldly in the presence of God and seek his help when we need it. And so that's the blessing that we have. And that's why it says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And that's the thing, is that we have great spiritual blessings. And we know that we have an inheritance in heaven that we are going to enjoy. But sometimes we almost tend to think, well, that's something that I'm going to receive then, and it has no bearing and it has no help to me right now. But it's kind of the thing is that we already can access so much of our inheritance right now here on earth, and we can be thankful for that in terms of the Holy Spirit and all that God gives us through that. And so, again, this is a concept that is hard for us to get our heads around, but as we meditate on it, as we come to accept it by faith, we identify that it's a game changer. That with everything that's going on, really it brings heaven to earth for us. It really transports us beyond the challenges and worries that we have, It causes us to be able to rise above. And I want to look in the time we have remaining at three different ways that this truth can be a help to us. We see, first of all, that knowing that we are seated with together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, it gives us peace. We read at the beginning of our service this morning, Hebrews chapter 46, that God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in time of trouble, therefore we will not fear. And it says, even if, or though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And you can really think of the way it's been in this world for the last 6 months, that so much that we took for granted has been kind of pulled out from under us. There's so much uncertainty even now that it does kind of seem that our earth has been removed, and just we don't know what we can count on, what we can rely upon. We don't know what the future holds, whether we're going to be able to put this aside or whether we're going to have to deal with it much longer. We don't know some of the things that are shaking out as a result of it, what the results for those will be. But we see that picture that, like, the earth itself can be moving and the waters are roaring and be troubling, the mountains are shaking. But then we see the contrast in that passage where it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. That even though there's everything going on earth that's troubled and overwhelmed, and we can recognize that we ourselves are a part of that, that in heaven there's this river that there's not even a ripple of these things. It doesn't affect it. God is not overwhelmed by these things. God is still in control. And that's the thing, is that we sometimes in these moments can get so worked up and worried and just wonder what to do. And God says, be still and know that I am God, that I know what's going on, He's still on the throne. We can trust Him. He's going to see us through these things, that He's not far away from us, that we're not far away from Him, we can really be unmoved by the craziness of this world because God is our refuge. That we think of that, a place of refuge from the storm. I think any of us have had times where we get caught in some kind of storm and we're getting soaking wet, getting cold, but if we can get to a place of safety where we're out of that storm, just a place of rest where the storm can still be beating down as hard as it was, but we're safe from it. And that's really what the Lord is that He is a refuge for us. We see in Psalm 32 and verse 7 that the psalmist says this. He says of God, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. And that's the thing, that when we're in difficult times, that's what God does for us. You can kind of picture it as a parent that just envelops their child in their arms, keeps them safe, sings to them so that they can calm down and be at peace. That's really what we understand when we're sitting together with Jesus in heaven. That everything that's going on, it's like we know it's going to be okay. I don't have to worry. And this is a place that really, in our minds, we can run to. A hiding place. A way of escape. That's the thing, that for many people nowadays, if they don't know the Lord, they're seeking an escape. And some might try to run away from the problem. Some might try to use drugs, just find different ways they can cope. And for us, this can be the way that we cope with these struggles. Where we don't run to these other things, where instead we rest in Him. We realize I'm safe in His arms, and I don't have to worry. That Fanny Crosby, she wrote a hymn about this. We don't have it in our hymn book, but it's titled Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And the chorus goes this way. It says, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. And verse 2 of that hymn goes, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from corroding care, safe from the world's temptation, sin cannot harm me there, free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears. And that's what we have when we're in the arms of Jesus. We're sitting together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be full of worry, this corroding care. And really, you can think of that's how worry is. It can be very corrosive to our lives, really can affect us deeply. But we're safe from that. We have temptations, but we don't have to give in to them. They don't have to overwhelm us. We don't have to be plagued by sorrow and doubt and fear. We can rise above all of that and be free from it as we have, by faith, see that we are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But not only does this thought give us peace, it also gives us patience. And I think in this time that we're in right now, our big question is, when is it going to end? When can we get back to normal? Will we ever be able to get back to normal again? And there's always different things that we have to deal with in life that we wish that they are over quickly, but sometimes we have to endure things for a long time. And we just wonder, how can I endure this any longer? It's been too long. But when we recognize that we're seated down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we get an eternal perspective. That in light of eternity, we see that the trials now are not as big as we think that they are. We see in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18, it says, speaking of Paul, he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so we don't look at these things that we struggle with, that we go through, things that are difficult, that are very challenging to us. But in light of eternity, they're not a big deal. That we know that God's with us, we can handle it. He can give us the grace for us to get through it all. And that's really, we want to realize that there's, He's trying to give us patience through these times, and so we need to yield to that. And a big part of that is having that perspective of being in heaven with Him and knowing that this is not not forever. The end part of verse 2 in that hymn, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, says, free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears, says, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. And it continues in verse 3, it says, Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er, wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. And that's the thing, is that the world can seem pretty dark these days, but we know that a dawn is coming. And when we're seated together with Christ in heavenly places, we know it won't be long. The morning's going to come, that Jesus is going to return to this world and set everything right, and so we can hang in there. That this is another verse from that song, already over on the other side. It says, now if you're fretting and thinking of quitting or fainting along the way, you've already passed from death to life, so you just might as well stay. The battle's fought, the victory's won. It is finished with our Lord's cry. He's made us more than conquerors. We're living on the other side. And so we want to have that perspective that the victory's already won through the Lord Jesus Christ, that He has given us the victory. And so we don't have to live in defeat, live in despair. We know that God is going to be with us and He can help us through. But not only does this this idea give us peace and give us patience, we realize finally that it gives us different priorities. Different priorities. We see this in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 1 it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." And so it's that thought that we are to, if we are risen with Christ, and we understand from Ephesians chapter 2 that when we've trusted in Christ, that we've been quickened together with Christ, we've been raised up together with Him, and we're made to sit together in heavenly places, that because of that, we now are to seek those things which are above. That in this world it's easy for us to get consumed by everything that's going on around us, different things we need to get done, different things we have on our agenda. We see what Jesus spoke of that in Mark chapter 4, where he talked about, he gave this parable of the seed that was sown, and that for different reasons wasn't bearing good fruit. And one of them was this seed that was sown among thorns that was choked out when the weeds came up. It says, verse 18, "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." And that can so often be our lives. We're so wrapped up with all the cares and troubles and things in this life that we fail to be fruitful as we could be. And so God is saying to us, okay, if you are raised with Christ and you're seated together with Him, then that needs to affect your priorities, your affections. What is truly of value? What do you really care about? That we seek those things that are above. We don't try to lay up treasure here on earth. We try to lay up treasure in heaven. That we're not concerned about really our reputation and our kind of our what people know of us and what's going to be passed on about us here on earth. We want to make sure that we receive God's commendation when we pass into His life and stand before Him. That really we understand what is truly important in life. That so much that we value and cling to and pursue after is just trivial and doesn't really matter as it should. That really instead we understand we're citizens of heaven and that's where we're going to live and so we live our lives with that in mind. We think of what Jesus spoke of, the idea of in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." And that's the thing, that he died and gave us new life, and he wants us to do something with that life that's going to count for eternity. And so we want to have that. We want to grow in our relationship with the Lord. But I think as well is that we want, knowing that we're in heaven and that our salvation is sure, we should want others to come to join us. And that should be our heart, to see others come to know Christ as Savior. There's an old hymn titled, "May the Circle Be Unbroken." And it's that idea is that we have family relationships and relationships with different friends. And we have good times together here. And it's that hope is that when we all get to heaven, that there won't be anyone missing. That we'll all be there together. And that we can think of that, people that we work with, people we might have coffee with, people whose company we enjoy. We want that circle to be unbroken. And so we want to share the truth of the gospel now so that they have the opportunity to come to Christ as Savior, so that then we can spend eternity together with our Lord in heaven. And so in all of this, again, we try to understand this, and sometimes we don't necessarily fully understand it. But that's the thing, is that we don't necessarily need to have it all figured out to be able to have faith and trust in what God's Word says. And sometimes as we meditate on it and walk in the light of it, that the Lord helps us to make sense of it later. But it is our prayer that the Lord would give each of us spiritual vision, and especially in these times, that we can rise above. That we're not overwhelmed, but that instead we can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That we need not be discouraged, but instead we can be challenged by God to serve in this world as a citizen and an ambassador of heaven itself. And may the Lord use us in this time to encourage others to come to Christ so they too can have eternal life. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You again for Your Word and all that You have done for us by Your mercy and grace. Lord, we don't quite understand this, but we read what You have said, and we want to accept it by faith, knowing the blessing that it brings to our hearts. Just help us to realize this, and just help us to have the right focus in life, that we can weather through these challenging times and be used of You to bring others to Yourself. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.